and to wrap up Sundance on the weekend with my co-host Stacy Domalski, and we're going to exit on an educational note with the documentary Ivory Tower and the director Andrew Rossi.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, just to start off, watching your film last night, a little anecdote occurred to me from just one of the local interviews we did here on the radio station when we had an advisor sort of coming in talking to our local news show about the importance of getting into what you can do to prepare to try to get into a good college. And our news anchor Leslie Thatcher was saying, "Well, you know, is it that big a deal to get into a good college now? Because I mean, you know, Bill Gates dropped out and Steve Jobs dropped out." And the guy said, "Yeah, but they dropped out from good colleges." What's happened to colleges in the last 30 years, and what do they have going for them besides prestige?
It's true. I think there's really a cultural moment taking place in which people are challenging whether the sort of mythic ideal of going to college is really still something that's valid and something that should make people go into incredible amounts of student debt. So we see that tuition rates have risen since 1978 by over 1,000%, and student loan debt is now cumulatively over $1 trillion in this country. But as you referenced, people like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, they dropped out of Harvard, and they now run these incredible companies that hire people who go to college. So in essence, if you're not sort of one of those extraordinary outlier type of geniuses, the idea that you can follow their lead is not really – doesn't totally make sense.
Well, and also back then, the college did not cost what it costs now when they dropped out of the college they went to. Reed College then and Reed College now is – it's two different animals.
Completely. And that's something that we hear from a lot of the young people in the film who are millennials and identify as part of that generation and say that their parents and other older people don't empathize with them in the same way because they were able to go to state schools and pay almost nothing or any other private schools that were competitive at that time. But now those tuition rates have just skyrocketed. And also the employment market for them is really tough. Over 50% of students who graduate in 2012 are either unemployed or underemployed. So it's a really tough scene out there.
Yeah, in the Q&A on last night, I think after seeing the film, there was somebody in the audience who was still a little unclear. He was trying to put his finger on just what had gone wrong in the last 30 years because, well, when I went to college in the 70s, colleges then still they liked to build big fancy buildings, and then you know kids had to get the hard truth that a degree in English lit did not get you a big job market and things. Those conditions back then, but I had a tuition that I could afford, that I could deal with.
Well, there are several factors that contribute to tuition rates skyrocketing. One of the central ones is that state funding for higher education has decreased to an alarming degree. And as a result, for example, we hear in the film Teresa Sullivan, the president of UVA, saying that for every $4 that she has lost from state funding, they've increased tuition by a dollar. And so now both in-state and out-of-state tuition at UVA is extremely high. But there's another sort of bigger kind of cost disease that is taking place in some schools, and it's basically a race for prestige. It's a race to build in order to stay at the top of rankings, and that's something that's very insidious and could be corrected.
Why did it happen in recent decades? Like I said, when I went to college, I'm sure my college too wanted to be compared to Harvard. So how come it got crazy?
I think what we see in the film is a transition from the idea of college as a public good to a private good. And if we see sort of historically how FDR and Lyndon Johnson and others believe that college could be part of this great society or a New Deal to allow everyone to have certain economic rights, that all really shifted in the 70s when governors, particularly Governor Reagan in California, started to say that sort of intellectual curiosity should not be something that is subsidized by the state. And so we saw in the 70s on into the 80s a shift in people thinking that, well, if you go to school, you know, you're going to make more money in the job market and it's a private good and you should pay for it. And so out of that sort of shift, the loan market came to allow people who didn't have the funds to go to school to afford it. But of course, we see how that loan market has now totally gotten out of control.
But, you know, Ronald Reagan hasn't been around for 25 years. Why is the philosophy still here?
That's an excellent question. And I think that that's...
Well, who perpetuates it maybe right. is what, you know, where's yeah. it coming from?
I don't know. I think our whole, the social fabric of this country right now is really in a moment of sort of reassessing how did we get to a place where there's a lot of inequality. Financial, social, and I think college is unfortunately becoming one of those mechanisms in society that instead of sometimes creating social mobility, unfortunately is creating class difference. Because if you graduate from college with over $50,000 in debt, your class position has been cemented as actually lower than those who were able because of their family's abilities or whatnot.
Right. And if you're coming out to become a teacher or... you know, medical assistant or something like that, you're already deeper in the hole than you would be if you came out at ground zero.
Precisely.
Yeah. When did we have the shift that it seems like there was a shift that that at the very least one had to have a high school diploma or you couldn't, you know, make your way in society. And it seems like maybe now our attitude is at the very least you have to have a college diploma or you're hopelessly out of it.
I completely agree, Rick, and I think that's what people really feel is that the college degree is now the new high school mm-hmm. degree and the master's is the new college. And so there's been this sort of mission creep in the higher education sector to have people stay in school longer and I guess spend more money.
Go deeper in debt. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of the film goes into different modes of what college might mean. The Deep Springs College in Death Valley with kids stacking hay and talking about Hegel, and the all black college and the internet universities. And I don't know if is there one of those alternatives that is kind of the right answer for you, or you kind of leave it up to us?
I don't know. I think that it's really evolving. So we look at massive open online courses, which are known as MOOCs, and there are several companies that provide those: Udacity, Coursera, edX. Unfortunately, the data shows that some of those programs online are not so good for students who have remedial needs, mm-hmm. who need more guidance. And so I think the film ultimately is a testament to the power of teaching and the power of one-on-one contact. But certainly providing classes online is a way to cut costs and to increase access. And so there's a lot of exciting ways in which that alternative can help.
It can't touch everybody, but it does fulfill a need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting. I have a freshman in college. He goes to the University of Miami in Florida. He went pretty much close to a full ride because he's a jazz saxophone player, and he is majoring in jazz performance. And I've had people say to me when I tell them that, don't you think that's a little irresponsible of you to let him major in something that can't sustain a living? And I don't know what to say to that. One, he earned it, you know, because he's paid for it himself. But I think it's interesting that if you're not majoring now in business, law, pre-med, something, that it feels like the college degree is being wasted.
Well, I think, you know, that kind of personal journey takes place, you know, hundreds of thousands of times all across this country, people saying that they're going to take a risk, they're going to pursue something that they feel passionate about. And I think that that's still possible, even in the tough economy that we live in. The thing that makes it untenable is the debt. Mm-hmm. So if your son is able to afford it or your family is able to do it, or he has
grants
and scholarships, then that's a salvation. And he, you know, he can take this path and pursue and maybe become the next great jazz saxophonist. Mm-hmm. We don't, as a society, want to foreclose that option from people.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, and the next chance is to explore all these answers and questions in the Ivory Tower is Monday. You're back at the Temple Theater, Andrew.
Yes.
You're going to get used to that place.
Yes.
And you're down in Salt Lake. But later on in the week, Thursday at the Prospector Square Theater. And you wrap up next Saturday at the Egyptian.
Yes.
So thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
I know we handle a very complex topic in 6 minutes.
No, I wish we had more time.
We figured it all out, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We solved world problems.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and I hope the conversation continues.
Thank you.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longrimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Lost and Found, traffic, weather, and local stories, only in Park City, only on KPCW. This is KPCW Park City.